May God speak to us through His Word on this afternoon. I would like to read from the prophet Isaiah some verses. Let us stand up for it. Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. So far this word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time of grace in which we live. We thank you that you received us and accepted us by grace, and that you made us your own possession. Faithful Lord, may the word today in a very special way speak to all of us. Speak so clearly with us that we understand you. Give us the strength to respond to that what you say to us. Give us strength to take your word to heart, to obey it, to live it, faithful Lord, that it really could become flesh in us and through us, that also we would be open letters written by your Spirit, read by all men. I commit this service under the care of your word and Spirit, O Lord. May the precious blood of the Lamb cover us all, O God. May every guilt be atoned. May every sin be forgiven. May every injustice be taken from us, so that your wrath may be turned from us, and that you can look down graciously on us. Beloved Savior, receive us all. Give grace to speak and grace to hear. To you, the Almighty God, we thank you already now for the victory and for the blessing in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. From Isaiah 55, from verse 6, especially verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The day will come on which people will seek him. The choir has sung it in the song. Then the people will call upon the mountains and rocks, and there will be no response, no answer, no grace. A more terrible situation one cannot imagine. Therefore, this insisting admonition, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. For how long can he be found? As long as there is the time of grace. As long as there is a today. And the scripture says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I want that all of us who we are here today, and also all who will hear this sermon, that they have certainty of faith in them by the Spirit of God, that everything is settled with God, that he made the damage well, that he received and accepted us, that he justified us in his presence. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The best day for it I can give to you. It is today. And the best time I can also tell you. It's now. Now, while we hear such a word, we ask ourselves, Lord, did I seek you already? Have I found you? And here we think on the statement of Brother Branham, that man cannot seek God by himself. Just the contrary, he runs away from God. But then, when the divine draw, when the Spirit begins to work in the heart of a man, and the scripture is fulfilled, all whom the Father draws, they come to me, and I give them eternal life. We must feel the draw in us and then not resist, but come and say, Lord, receive me, accept me. It goes on, call ye upon him while he is near. Here we have the promise in the prophet Joel, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The call, however, has to come from your heart and be spoken out with your lips, and then God answers us. Now the request, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. When the word wicked comes, then the people are very upset. They don't want to hear it. Then they say, I didn't kill anyone, and so forth. After all, I believe in God. Every man is wicked or godless. Think of it now as being two words. Loosened from God. Godless. And then the connection which God established in Jesus Christ our Lord. The godless, the wicked, he made them to be joined with God. Those who were afar off, he made them nigh. The lost shall receive salvation. This is the message of the gospel. Here it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Also here I want to remind on a statement of Brother Branham. He said, I have the impression that the people just come to a church and don't penetrate to the Lord at all. Also this, may God give it to us, that it's not like this, that we would just come to the service, but that we come to the Lord, being addressed by Him, being drawn by Him, experiencing Him by His grace. It goes on here, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. But the person must speak it out and say, Lord, forgive me, faithful God, be merciful unto me, sinner, save me. A man must come to God in this way and ask for salvation so that he can be saved. Then, of course, also the next verses, which go already into our subject of the word of the Lord. For as the rain cometh down and watereth the earth, and has a reason and a purpose, namely that the sower can sow, and those who hunger can eat bread, so it is with the word of God. It does not return void, but it accomplishes for what God has sent it for. It is written here so wonderful in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. How often have people taken the word of God and added unto the original word a totally different meaning, and it did not remain God's word anymore, but it became the words of men. It is about that we hear God's word in the original, pure and clear, receiving it, letting it work in us, for it cannot return void unless it accomplishes for what God has sent it for. I read it. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. There is another word also in the prophet Isaiah. There the prophet says, God has sent me and his spirit. And we know the word came to the prophets, and the spirit of God, who revealed to them the word, who inspired them, he rested upon them as the holy anointing. And the same it is with us, who we hear the same word today. It is a living word, and the holy anointing rests on them who hear the word and believe it with all their heart and count on it that God fulfills it. You all know, we can hear of salvation, of healing, of everything, unless the heard things are believed. Otherwise we heard it in vain. It must be believed. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What shall we believe? The word of God, in the original, as it was left unto us. I would like to read some more scriptures. The second from Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Here it is written from verse 14. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. What a wonderful word! Cast ye up, take up every stumbling block out of the way of my people. If we could succeed in this by the proclamation of the Word of God, that every obstacle, be it of earthly or spiritual kind, that we could take it out of the way, and that also the second verse, which we read, could be fulfilled. For thus saith the High and Exalted One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. This we know, this we believe, but there it doesn't end. The same who dwells in the high and holy place, says here, and with him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit. The same God who dwells in the high and holy place, in a light where no one has access to. The same God dwells in them who received his word, with them who received and experienced Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And then comes this word to fulfillment. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also, who is of a contrite and humble spirit. For what? To revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The enemy takes care for it, that we come into such a situation. And then we have the promise that the Lord will revive and refresh, that no one is put to shame, that no one needs to be faint-hearted. I've spoken it like that in front of me for the past few days. A man who believes does not give up hope, and he who gives up hope, he does not believe. And so we also have the word in Hebrews and also in Revelation of those who give up hope. Where will they be? Beloved, not that we would be high-spirited by ourselves and would say, we will make it. But in trust in God, by the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has become our life, our hope, our peace, our everything, by looking up to him, our soul becomes still. By looking up to him, we receive new strength. Also today, he wants to do in our midst that, what we just read here, to revive the spirit of the humble and to quicken the heart of the contrite ones. What did our Lord say back then? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will quicken you. I will give you rest for your soul. Precious heart, don't you feel that God wants to do us well today? That he wants to comfort today? That he wants to refresh? That he wants to pour balm, oil into the wounds? That this service really would be an hour in which we can experience God together, to revive the spirit of the humble and the heart of the contrite ones. Count with it today. Believe that it happens. Expect that God does it, and then it will take place. It happens according to our faith. Beloved, we have to be in the matter under the proclamation of the word. If we want to have an experience with God, then we must know that He speaks with us now because He wants to glorify Himself on us. He wants to confirm His word, not just the day after tomorrow. Today, here, under the proclamation of the word, He wants to make true and give what He promised. I would like to read another word, also from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 8. Isaiah, chapter 8, here it says, from verse 13, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread." And He shall be for a sanctuary and for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense. Let us stop here for a moment. Both is said by the Lord of hosts. For some, He will be the cause for sanctification, and for others, for a stone of stumbling. This was so from the very beginning, already when the Lord walked on this earth. Some straightened themselves up on Him, the others stumbled over Him and fell, so that He had to say, "Upon whom this rock falls, he will then be crushed." For us, He is the precious cornerstone, the foundation stone. For many others, He has become the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, until this very day. If we look in the Holy Scriptures, in the light that God has given us, then we know very well that the whole world lies in wickedness. To whom God did not reveal Himself, He does not know Him. He does not even know who He is. And Jesus said to Philip back then, "For so long I am in your midst, and you don't know me yet, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father." God manifested in Jesus Christ our Lord. The first part of this verse seems to me of great significance to us. The Lord of hosts, He shall be for a sanctuary, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. Then He shall be the cause for your sanctification. We all know that it is written, "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." In the same way, we know that it is written, "I sanctify myself for them, that also they are sanctified for a truth." In the same way, we know that it's written of the sanctification worked by the Spirit. Who can be sanctified? I know millions are praying, "Hallowed be thy name," and they don't even know what name it is. The name was not revealed to them at all. In the same way, one can talk about sanctification, one can talk about justification, one can talk about spirit baptism, about rapturing faith, about many things, without having the thing itself. And the best example that comes into my mind, I probably said it here before, when I traveled through the USA and was boarding the plane, and the stewardess asked me the question, "Are you born again?" "Yes," are you born again? And this was, of course, for me as a passenger, a man who was a passenger on the plane. This was quite a surprise. It was the first sentence. Are you born again? And I'm not always at a loss for words. In any case, I looked at the lady. Everything what could be painted was painted. From the eyebrows down to the chin. Lips and everything included. Only different shades of colors were used all over. And of course, very short hair, like a man's haircut. And you can imagine, as astonished as I was at this question, so astonished she might have been at my question. One could see it at her face. I answered, yes, by grace, I am born again. But what about you? And do you know that no answer could come here? I immediately digged deeper. You have asked me whether I am born again. And now I ask you, in the name of the Lord, are you born again? And then she says, but you know, in our country there are about 50% born again. I said, for that I didn't ask you. I asked, are you born again? You asked me also whether I am born again. A slogan. The people use it without knowing what they actually say. A person who is born again, he is born of God. He has the nature of Jesus Christ. Whether man or woman, the people will then know what is proper, inwardly and outwardly. It's just slogans. Justification, new birth, sanctification, spirit baptism. These are all terms about which one argues and for which one argues, about which one preaches. The time is here that God wants to lay a longing into us to truly experience all these things, that there would be not one amongst us and would be left who has not experienced what has to be experienced with God. It's a divine must. It's written, ye must be born again. Not you can, you may. You must be born again. Otherwise, one cannot see the kingdom of God. We want to have an experience with God. Experiencing God together. Taking God at His word. And to let ourselves be led by His Spirit into a deep repentance. We grieved the Lord so many times through unbelief, through some kind of things in our lives, and have therefore sometimes the impression that He withdrew Himself. He wants to reveal Himself. He wants to be with us all the days until the end of the world. But He wants to feel well in our midst. He wants to see faith. He wants to see obedience. People who have heard the word of the hour. People who not only speak about it, but who were seized by God. As Paul writes to the Philippians, I forget what is behind me, because I am apprehended of Christ. I follow after Him. Something new has to happen in all of us, happen with all of us. A totally new reviving by the Spirit must take place. Reverence before God, reverence before His Word, sanctified in the truth, as we emphasized here. It says here, let Him be your fear, let Him be your dread. You shall fear the Lord your God, and love Him, and trust Him. A holy fear, and this holy reverence, is the beginning of divine wisdom. In the early church, there came fear upon all. God has testified. And I think the same reverence must return into the church. If one witnesses many times in what kind of way people think of themselves to be something, I had on my way from Nairobi to Lilongwe a team with me. They later on went on to Lusaka, like me also. In any case, a team of the greatest and well-known evangelist from the USA. And I read my Bible, and then we came into a conversation. It was a very nice conversation. They rejoiced because of an European who had Africa on his heart. Nice conversation for some minutes. And when it then came to the point that they then asked, and who are you and what it is about here, I can tell you, the cat wasn't quite out of the bag yet. I only opened the bag a little bit and I began to say something. Oh my goodness. Then everything was over again. All the joy was over then. Why? They didn't recognize the hour of God's visitation and are building a big empire. For whom? For some kind of great man? And all this within the kingdom of God. Our Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Lord has set the ministries into his church. And I dare to say, based upon the authority of the Word of God, whoever does not accept the ministry set by God, whom he has placed into the church, he rejected the divine order. He did not accept for himself that what God has promised. He may have a huge program, and as the greatest evangelist, also thousands of co-workers, having a few million of dollars. This doesn't mean anything in the kingdom of God. You can't impress a true child of God with that. I can tell you what would have impressed me at the beginning of the New Testament. John the Baptist, with a camel skin around him, with a leather girdle, he had the message of God. This would have impressed me, but not some kind of great name. We live in a time where people make something with names. And you know, we have the great privilege that we may bear reproach, bearing reproach. Most people want to be honored with God, and they even believe this is the right way. Huh. What is written of Moses? He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the sinful treasures in Egypt. What about Joshua and all the men of God? No, God has taken care for it, that with his name, and the Lord said it already then, for my name's sake, you will be hated by all people, everywhere. Whoever thinks to come to honor with the name of the Lord, he is mistaken. He will lose his honor very quickly. He will have to take up his cross and will bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. And whoever doesn't bear it, let him ask himself whether he follows Jesus. The second is also with them whom God sends. Our Lord said after his resurrection, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He said, he who hears you, hears me. He said some things. There were and there are men who were sent by God, and all who are of God hear the voice of God, who even speaks today through the mouth of men to the people. And whoever has understood this, that God makes his word alive and reveals it to us, and thus speaks to us through his word, I tell you, after such experiences, we get even more thankful. At first I was sad. The team then didn't even say goodbye to me. Earlier they shook hands with me and the joy was so great. And then not even saying goodbye, that normally every American does for a good behavior. And I thought by myself, look, they let you feel it, with what kind of despisement they deal with you, such a disrespect. And then it went on, a lady was also in the plane, and this I want to say here, doesn't have to be always a sermon, we hear so many sermons. I watched this lady, some of this team spoke with her, and when I saw her then in the airport terminal on the next flight, I saw her sitting there. I thought, just ask her where she belongs. She said she's a Baptist, this and that. And then I asked her, lady, where are you from? Then the word came, Dallas, Texas. And Dallas, Texas has quite a meaning for me. 1958, I had an experience with God there. I heard there the many evangelists preaching during the day. And in the evening, Brother Branham was the main speaker. And when the word Dallas, Texas fell, I said, dear lady, this city has a special meaning for me. And I could still speak. I could speak of Voice of Healing, of the conference, of the evangelists. And then I thought, all right, now you will say a bit more. You just owe this to this woman. And I said, do you know what, dear lady? There was not only a conference and many evangelists. In the evening, a man of God spoke. His name was William Branham. My goodness. This woman jumped up, who was sitting so quietly before, like she could not harm anyone. She suddenly jumped up as if bitten by a snake and starts to yell, Branham, I know, Branham, I know. I thought, very interesting. And we began to talk, and I found out that she didn't know Branham at all, that she only knew people who made much nonsense with thunders and so forth. And I just, in a clarifying and helping way, I could speak with this woman. I've seen right away, in that moment, when this name is mentioned, something goes on. There nobody needs to take care anymore that somebody falls asleep. There those who are asleep wake up right away. How come? How come? When other evangelists are mentioned, nobody gets upset. They can preach and do what they like. People read and hear it today, tomorrow they have forgotten it, and then they continue as before. But right here, the spirits are separating. And why? Our Lord said, I have come for a division into this world, that those who see get blind, and that the blind can see. And the scribes said, do you now speak of us? And he says, if you all know the scripture in the Gospel of John, but because you think that you see, therefore your sin remains. Let us become grateful for that, that God has ordained us to hear His word, to get His word and will revealed. And how much reproach we have to bear here, this doesn't matter. What have the prophets done? They carried the word. They were persecuted, stoned and killed, from the blood of Abel up to the blood of Zechariah. But they carried the precious seed, for which we are thankful even today. And what did Brother Branham sing sometimes? It's dripping with blood. It's dripping with blood. This old word of God. It's dripping with blood. Our Lord shed His blood to redeem us and then to lay His life into the redeemed. So, who can be sanctified? A person who fears God, who trembles when His word goes forth, who still knows when God speaks what is proper, namely that one has to be silent then and hear. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Then he shall be for a cause for your sanctification. In that moment, where we are in fear of the Word of God, we could go here now into a Bible class. I would show you what happened before the first coming of Christ and what is happening now before the second coming of Christ. At the first coming of Christ, a preparation of the way, a preparing. I will send my messenger before me, that he prepares the way before me. Now, a restoration, a correction, a bringing back into the old state in which the church was at the beginning. About this we will still write and also speak, God willing. Let us now go to the New Testament to also read here. In Thessalonians we read the following. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, here I read the last two verses. For who is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? At his coming. For ye are our glory and joy. In chapter 3, maybe from verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What is it about here over and again? Preparation. Preparation. For what? For the coming of the Lord. Unblameable we shall be in holiness when the Lord comes. What a reverence. What a word of God. How must we be seized by the power of God so that the required condition from God is found with all of us, that it can be manifested on all of us and in all of us. Yes, may he establish your hearts. What is written somewhere else? That the heart be established with grace, being settled in the Word of God, settled in that what God revealed to us from his Word, to the end he may establish your hearts. How many still need an establishing in the cause of God? Today you can get it. There are of course sometimes people who need time to reconsider things until it is so far. Today it can happen. Today you can go from here with a divine certainty of faith that God has really revealed unto us his Word by the Holy Spirit. I mentioned it before. Right then, when one comes together with people who don't see this, who don't know this, or maybe even don't want to hear, then one gets thankful and then one sees the difference. But it goes on here in chapter 4. Here it says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. What was it about? That God's well-pleasing can rest upon the believers, that they experienced a real justification with God, and that they can say, as Paul has written, because we have now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Singing we can all do, but every individual must experience it himself. Peace with God, justification by faith. Then it goes on, renewing, new birth, up to that our will is laid into the will of God, as we also read, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But then we come to the point, just as God does not only dwell in a high and holy place, but also with them who are of a humble spirit and of a contrite heart. These are those to whom it is given to feel out the thoughts of God in His Word, to find the divine traces and to follow them up. Could we take something ourselves? It was given to us by God. Who sat next to us and gave us a lesson? The Holy Spirit, who dictated the Word, who inspired the Word. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has led us into all truth and will continue to do so. For thus it is written, when the Spirit of truth will have come, He will lead you into all the truth. Certainly, God uses, as we said before, the mouth of a man. He uses a prophet and speaks through him and reveals His Word to His people. But then the Spirit of God comes upon the people of God, and we see what prophets and apostles saw. We understand how they understood. We see as they saw, and thus we become one with God and one with them through whom God spoke at all times. And in this way we become a part of that what God is doing now. Not only having His Word in the mouth, but bearing it in the heart as a divine revelation of His Word and of His will. Also this we said before, the Word is being interpreted into all directions under heaven. And it seems that even more interpretations are added. It is not enough for the people. But there is a people on earth who do not interpret, but who believe as it is written. They believe that God has spoken, a people of God that has a relationship to His Word through His Spirit. I tell you, this I appreciate. There is no better proof of a person that he agrees with God than that he agrees with the Word of God. There can be many people who say, I walk with God and this and that. All this is vain talk unless we agree with the Word of God. Not only seen as general with some statements, included therein is also the Word of God for the time in which we live now. What good would it be for all of us if we would know what God has done and would rejoice about it? If we would not have open eyes and would see, oh, these are all promises here for our time, for me, for you, for the church in these days. These promises we receive, we believe them, and also here we expect fully the fulfillment of that what God promised. And believe me, as the Lord, let the word be brought for this time, and not only word, but by a confirmed apostolic ministry. Believe it, the ministry of Brother Branham was at least like the one of Paul or Peter, a full restoration of the original ministry that God has laid into the church at the beginning. This we have seen in the life of him whom God used for it to bring us the message of restoration. He had the word, and to the word he had the divine confirmation which accompanied his ministry. It's incomparable, and it will remain until the day when the Lord will take his own. But now we come to the point. As the Lord sent both a man with a message, but who at the same time had a restored, a fully biblical, apostolic, prophetic ministry, legitimated before all the world. So a divine confirmation and legitimation must be manifested on those who heard the divine message. This is the whole purpose of that what God really intends to do. You most certainly don't believe that we only will have words until the end. At the end, that what we have heard as words must merge into reality. It must be manifested that God's word is true, and that it doesn't return unto him void, but that it accomplishes for what God has sent it for. Also this we mentioned. Brother Branham took the word from John 14, 12, over and again, just like Hebrews 13, verse 8, he put it upon the lampstand. In the one scripture we read, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the other, the works that I have done, ye shall do also, and greater than these. When does he say this? Right after when he said to Philip, for so long I am with you, and you didn't know me yet. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The works that I do, not I do them, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works. God in Christ, Christ in the church. Here is the connection. The Lord has sent a prophet, a servant. He has given him a restored ministry to bring to the church the word of restoration, that she might have a pattern, a point of reference towards that what we have to expect. And here somebody may say, huh, but it looks very sad. All right, but it's not hopeless. We also see our condition, but we don't look on the deadness of our body, also not on the deadness of the body of Jesus Christ. We look to the living God, who is able to put the dead bones together, to give new life into them, and to manifest himself once more. Then it will happen to us like it did to Mary, when she said, I don't know of any man. We also don't know of any man, but we know it from God, who has given the promise. Human things cannot be mixed with the divine. God does not tolerate mixing. God wants original seed. With Christ he made this new beginning, and we shall be born like he was born, from the seed of the word, by the Holy Spirit. And so we have a wonderful future, a glorious future. God will confirm his word. I hold to it. It belongs to it. It is part of it. It's the promise. And the nice thing is that the message was accompanied by such a ministry beyond any shadow of doubt, confirmed, legitimated by the Almighty God, so that all who are of God in these days hear the word of God. And here we have again the scripture, all who are of God hear God's word. Our Lord said then, why can't you hear my words, not even listen to it? They didn't even want to listen. They were not ready to listen. Is it different today? If one wants to speak to the people and say to them some scriptures, they are not even ready to listen. How shall then one speak to them if they don't want to hear? How was it with you? Here is a precious sister who comes originally from Yugoslavia. Before the service, she told me that for the first time when she heard this, she could believe it. She received it, and by this it remained until this very day. Why? Because God opens the heart. Was it not with all of us like this? We did not need time to think it over. The word of God burned in our hearts. We believed it, we received it, and we are grateful to God for it. The more comes, the better we feel. One more scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, from verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Hallelujah. Praise be to the living God. He who started continues to work. He who continues to work, he finishes. He finishes when? When and how? Unto the day, not today, unto the day of his return. Also this we must see very clearly, that God has a time schedule, that everything runs according to his word and will, not too early and not too late, not too much and not too little. Everything at the right time. And when we then go with God and not stay behind, but patiently persevere and say, Lord, I want to belong to them who on that day are ready and may come to you into glory. I want to be part of the elect multitude. Precious heart, say to the Lord, give me everything what I need for it, up to the power that will quicken our mortal bodies. Not just something, but the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The same power must dwell in our mortal bodies to quicken also them on that day. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. On that day, also the body will be included. Right at the end, the mighty things will happen that never happened on earth before. Up to the creation miracles, when the word is spoken out, when that happens, then these things will take place. Our Lord always said, let it be done. And it happened. He spoke, and it was there. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's how it will be at the end. The prayer will precede that. The prayer will be a preparation to thus come into the presence of God, that he then can lead through his Spirit, giving instructions that he can inspire, that it is then spoken out what he wants to be said. And then I say it to you today, his word will not return void, but on the spot it will accomplish that for what God has sent it for. When the Lord said, wind be still, the wind was still on the spot. When the Lord said, waves be calm, the waves were calm on the spot. And the disciples said to one another, who is this man? Also their eyes were not yet fully opened. Who is this man that the wind and waves obey him? He said to the leper, be clean, and he was clean. Whatever he said, it happened. If now the same shall happen at the end, beloved, let us begin to rejoice. May it become such a living hope in us, a hope that is anchored in the Word of God, is not a hope that hovers around somewhere, but is grounded here in the Word. It's an anchor that reaches behind the veil, namely into the Holy of Holies. To me is nothing left but to thank the Lord. I tell you, as I mentioned before, some kind of experiences are necessary to make us more thankful, to let us know what a grace it is in this time to have heard the Word of God in truthfulness and by the hearing of the Word of God. The will of God for this time was revealed unto us. We truly don't need an angel Gabriel who comes to give us information. God has given information about his word, and he will lead us step by step until this day and this hour comes, and we, in full reverence before the living God, before his word, before his name, before his presence, are gathered and count with it, wait for it, who actually come together for that purpose, that God manifests himself. Now we are still coming together to hear the word. We hear it and we go home satisfied. But the time comes when we will not just come together to hear the word. The time comes when we will come together to experience what God has said in his word. Now one word to all those who have not yet dedicated their life to God. Should it be really the case that in our midst are people who did not yet experience God, today you can have an experience with God. Salvation is here for you. Redemption through Calvary. The Lord has shed his blood and paid the price. Today you can become a believer. Today you can be saved. The scripture says, today, if you hear his voice, with healing, it's the same. Leave the fear. Have reverence. Fear is connected with doubt, and doubt with unbelief, and one entails the other. Just believe. Let us together believe today, believing as the scripture says, to believe the Lord, that he is the same, that he confirms his word. Today he confirms it in your soul, in your spirit, in your body. Today he makes true what he promised here. I believe that it can happen. If you expect it, then you can take it home. God is present. God does not make empty promises. God keeps what he promises. On God we can rely. In God we can trust. Him we can believe. And this we want to do today with all our heart. Blessed be his name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Let us bow our heads, closing our eyes, opening the hearts, persevering in prayer before God. Maybe somebody's here who made his decision for the Lord and who would like to say, "Dear Savior, today I give you my life. Today I receive you into my heart, so that the Lord does not only dwell in the high and holy place, but also in them who are of a humble spirit and of a contrite heart. He wants to do it. We submit under the mighty hand of God. We humble ourselves in His presence. We are dust. We are nothing. Only that what He makes out of us. While the heads are bowed and we thus examine ourselves in the presence of God, who has the courage to raise his hand for a sign that we may include you into this prayer? Is somebody? God bless you. He sees the hands. He sees the hearts. He knows how we mean it. I'm grateful to God. I know His word cannot return void, even though we still wait for things which are still outstanding. But that, what He promised, namely to save, to heal, to bless, this He does daily, this He does hourly. Today is the day of salvation. Today it's the time of grace. Today we can experience God. Faithful Lord, I hold your word in my hands and bear it in my heart. Faithful Lord, you have said in this word, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Faithful Lord, together we come now with all who raised their hands because they would like to come to you. We come now together to you. We bring them to you, faithful Lord. May now your Spirit work mightily in them, O Lord, that they feel to be touched by you, to have been moved by your Spirit, yes, to have been convicted of sin, of unbelief, of judgment, of everything as it is written. O faithful Lord, give us gatherings in which you can walk and act, saving, healing, delivering. O faithful Lord, gatherings in which your word is believed, Lord. Give a holy reverence before you, so that you in this way can become the sanctification for all of us, because we come in the right attitude into your presence, O Lord, saying, "I have unclean lips and dwell amidst a people with unclean lips. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and all the earth is full of his glory." Faithful God, you have given us grace in this last time to know you, to know your word, to know your will. And faithful Lord, we want to say together with Paul that we also want to know the power of your resurrection. O faithful Lord, come and help us. We believe you. We trust you. Lord, we take your word seriously. Give grace that we live it out, that we would not have to fear, but that we stand by faith on every promise, being aware of that you cannot break your word. You must keep it and fulfill it and do what you promised. Beloved Lord, and so we commit everyone to you who have dedicated their lives to you. O Lord, we pray, whether it's about salvation or healing or deliverance on Golgotha, everything was accomplished. Everything took place. Healing, salvation, deliverance. And we believe today that you finished it and that we experienced it. For the word of the cross is the power of God to all them who believe. And today we believe, Lord, help us to come into this faith which once for all was delivered unto the saints. Lord, for this faith we want to stand. For this we want to fight. But we want that this faith becomes so alive and finds confirmation, so that it is also fulfilled to them who believe will follow these signs and wonders. Dear Lord, I thank you for the many thousands whom you saved. O Lord, how did my heart rejoice to see these multitudes of people. Lord, you are doing great things on all the ends of the earth. You have your people among all tongues and peoples and nations. Together we ask you now for all of the east and west, south and north, and especially for Russia, for Gorbachev. We pray you, Lord, put your hand on this man in a visible way. Direct his heart. Give liberty of the gospel in all of the country, in all of the east, Lord. The time is here, O God, that the word, the everlasting gospel, is preached unto the ends of the earth. Faithful Lord, thank you. We commit everything to you, not for our sakes alone, but for the sake of your cause, for the sake of your people. May you now arise, arise, so that the enemies are scattered and you can direct hearts like rivers of water. You throne kings and you dethrone kings. O Lord my God, like in the days of Daniel, so also in our time. Once again we lay everything before you, also the pious world that is misled. It's truly not some kind of ideology which alone leads astray. Where are the people, Lord? Whether evangelists, whoever they are, all are bypassing you and your word that you promised. And they shake their heads over them who believe you. O faithful Lord, once again we thank you that we could find grace in your sight, in your presence, that we may believe you and that we will experience that no one will be put to shame who has put his trust in you.